First session, Office 365 Labs Identity. As the title already says, this is basically the first webcast in a series of four different webcasts that we will host regarding the four main Office 365 services that we offer. The first one is on identity, the second one will be on Exchange Online, the third one will talk about SharePoint Online, and of course the last one would be about Skype for Business Online. At the end of the presentation deck, you would have a slide containing all four events with the respective registration links. But let's come back to this presentation, which is Office 365 Labs Identity. The main goal of this presentation is to present to you some things about how directory synchronization works, so Azure AD Connect, and how ADFS works. But really the main focus of this session, and also on of the other sessions that will follow, is to show you how things work, how you can get things done in Office 365, and in this case with Azure AD Connect and ADFS. So that's why the first half of this presentation, or I hope less as the half, would be about Office 365 and how it works, Azure AD Connect and ADFS. So this will be a presentation with slides. And afterwards, we will have only demos, only showing you things in Azure AD Connect and ADFS. If you have questions, technical questions, also please post them in IM. And when I am speaking, my colleague would respond to that question. And when I am speaking, he will respond to those questions. But let us introduce ourselves. My name is Dan. I'm working as a partner solution consultant for Microsoft for around 1 year and a half. But I'm working in Microsoft for three years and a half, and I was starting as a support engineer, and I was supporting a premier customer, especially on this specific Office 365 identity issues. So that's why I'm very, very happy that I am able today to have this presentation and to show you how things are working and how can you get things done in Azure AD Connect and ADFS. But since the presentation would become pretty long, I also have a colleague with me, which is from support, from the Office 365 support, so you may have worked with him already, but I will let him introduce himself.
Thank you, Dan. So my name is Andrei Popa. I'm an Office 365 support engineer. I am with Microsoft since 2 years, and my main scope of activity is cloud identity and Exchange Online. Dan?
Thank you very much, Andrei. So let's get further. The agenda for today, it's fairly simple. We would have a basic introduction to Azure AD. We would speak about identity scenarios. We will briefly talk about Azure AD Connect and ADFS, and then the most interesting part comes, the demos. And I hope these are great demos that you will enjoy a lot and you will have a lot to learn. So let's get already started. The first thing here is very, very important to make a big picture about what is Azure AD and why do we need it, and how can we integrate it also with other applications, for example. And we are living now in a world where we have a lot of SaaS applications. Users are using a lot of SaaS applications, companies are using a lot of SaaS applications, and in this specific world where really a lot of applications are used, we would have a problem because we manage our identities, our users, in our Active Directory, but without Azure AD, for example, we would have to separately manage these identities for each application that we use. So in this case, it is important that we have Azure Active Directory as a control plane that integrates already all the other SaaS applications that your company may use. So basically what we have here is something like a broker. You would have as an admin to handle one simple connection, and this is the synchronization from your on-premises Active Directory to Azure Active Directory. And then Azure Active Directory is already pre-integrated with a lot of other SaaS applications, and one of those applications is basically Office 365 and all the services that are under this umbrella of Office 365. So very, very important, Azure Active Directory could be your central control plane for managing identities across the entire life cycle of the identity, so from creation, then through administration, and then through deletion. You can have this integration with the cloud, which already builds on what you have on premises, your Active Directory, so you do not have to invest more in other tools or servers or software that would be able to integrate with other SaaS applications. Now, as we speak about Azure Active Directory and your on-premises Active Directory, we have to take into consideration also the three main identity scenarios that we could have when we talk about Office 365. And these are cloud-only scenario or cloud-only identity, synchronized identity, and federated identity. Now, the first identity scenario, the cloud-only identity, is a fairly simple thing, and it's mainly focused for companies that are very, very small and that don't have already an on-premises infrastructure in their own data center. And while synchronized identity comes in place where normally companies already have a server that was also promoted to domain controller, so they have already on-premises Active Directory, in this case it's fairly simple in order not to handle users both in your on-premises directory and in Office 365, you can simply synchronize these identities to Azure Active Directory, and from there you can assign licenses and users then can start using the Office 365 services. So it's also fairly easy. Also, we have to take into consideration that in this scenario, we can also synchronize passwords, which is very, very important. And when we synchronize passwords, what is synchronized is basically the password hash. So when you store a password or when you create a password in Active Directory, that password is not stored as a plain text somewhere or so. So that password is already stored as a password hash in your Active Directory. Now when you have Azure AD Connect with password synchronization, Azure AD Connect simply takes this hash, this password hash, it rehashes it, so it's double hashed, and then it synchronizes it to Azure Active Directory. And from this point on, users can sign in both to their on-premises infrastructure, so to their computers and so on, and also to Office 365 services with the same credential set. And this is a very, very, very important. However, please note that this is not what we call single sign-on. What we call single sign-on is the third identity scenario, and this is the federated identity. And this means that we already have synchronization. We need Azure AD Connect. We cannot have identity federation with Office 365 without Azure AD Connect. But we can bring another server, which is called an Active Directory Federation server, which will handle all the communication and authentication requests between Azure Active Directory and your on-premises infrastructure. And in this case, it's very important that basically users won't need to enter their passwords when they log into Office 365, but the whole authentication request would be handled by the ADFS server, and we'll see a little bit later how exactly this works. But only this scenario is what we call a single sign-on. Now, I want in this slide to make you aware of a very important concept when we think about this distinction between a synchronized identity and federated identity. And in my opinion, this is very, very important. And this is a concept that a lot of people really fail to understand correctly. But when we have synchronized identity, what happens is that the authentication is done by Azure Active Directory. So when I'm trying to log into Exchange Online, for example, or to my SharePoint site, or to my OneDrive for Business, then I am redirected for authentication to Azure Active Directory. Now, Azure Active Directory asks me for my credentials, so I have to type username and password. And then Azure Active Directory validates my password, and if it is correct, then I am authenticated and I am able to access the service that I wanted to access. But it's really important, the decision of authentication is made by Azure Active Directory. And when we talk about federated identity or single sign-on, this is totally different. Because when I am trying to log into Exchange Online or to SharePoint or to any Office 365 service, My request is redirected then to Azure Active Directory. But Azure Active Directory, based on my user principal name suffix, recognizes that I am a federated user. So in that particular point, Azure Active Directory will simply redirect my authentication request to my ADFS server. Now, ADFS would then take my credentials with which I'm logged in at the specific computer and would validate these credentials with a domain controller. And if everything is correct, then the ADFS server will issue a so-called SAML token. We will see this in more detail a little bit later. And on this SAML token, it would basically say, okay, this user is allowed to authenticate into user service or this user is not allowed to authenticate. And it sends this token to Azure Active Directory. And Azure Active Directory in this case, so in federated identity, only performs the actions that my ADFS server instructs them on that SAML token. So in synchronized identity, the decision was made by Azure Active Directory. In this federated identity, the decision is made by my local ADFS server, which is in my infrastructure, in my data center, and I can fully control it. So this is very, very important because, let's say, from a user perspective, this brings the single sign-on behavior. But from the admin perspective, this brings a lot of control because in ADFS you can audit all the requests, you can then also perform different tasks, you can also create different authentication rules, for example, that if a user tries to access Exchange Online via Outlook from a computer that is not domain joined, then he should not be able to do that. So you can configure this, for example, with an ADFS server. You cannot configure this without an ADFS server. So for you as an admin, this brings a lot more of control and options to see exactly and to decide exactly different scenarios based on which different users in different circumstances are allowed to use Office 365 services or not. So this is not available in synchronized identity, but only in federated identity. Good. With these basic concepts about identity scenarios, let's move on and talk a little bit about directory synchronization. And there is one tool that we use today for directory synchronization, and this is Azure Active Directory Connect, or AAD Connect. And this is a very, very interesting tool because it basically has two different components. The first component of Azure AD Connect is the so-called sync engine. And this engine is the component that basically synchronizes your users, so your identities. This means also users, but also groups and contacts from your local Active Directory to Azure Active Directory. But the Azure AD Connect tool also has a second component, which is the ADFS configuration. And this is really, really interesting about Azure AD Connect, because if you want to do a custom ADFS installation using this Azure AD Connect wizard, things can go very, very simple. You just have to specify the server name that you want to use as the ADFS server. You have to specify a server name that you want to use as a web application proxy server. And you have to specify the certificate that needs to be used in order to configure ADFS. And Azure Active Directory Connect basically would configure your servers and will make also a single sign-on work. So this is if you do not have, let's say, the necessary knowledge to set up your ADFS server manually, this is a great option to set up single sign-on using, however, this Azure AD Connect tool. However, based on the experience on what I have seen with customers and partners where I was working, or maybe also earlier at my career in Microsoft when I was doing support with Premier customer, is that it's maybe better if you have a basic ADFS know-how to configure your ADFS farm manually and not to use the Azure AD Connect to do that. The reason why I say this is because if you have to do, or if you do this manually, then you have a fairly good overview about what has been done, what was configured, how was it configured, and if you may have problems, then you may already know where to start. But if you let the Azure AD Connect tool do all these things, then when you have some problems on when users won't be able to log into Office 365 anymore due to ADFS problems and so on, then it may be in sometimes difficult to know exactly where to start looking for the cause of this issue and then to solve it. So you have this option as an admin. Either you can choose to also use Azure AD Connect to install and to configure ADFS, or you can simply choose to use Azure AD Connect only for the first component, so for the sync engine. And this is very, very good, and you can do this without any problems. Now, what is synchronized? This is also a very important topic, because normally what we synchronize are all users, groups, and mail-enabled contacts. And what this means is that if you add an object on premises, even if it's a user, a group, or a mail-enabled contact, then this object will be also synchronized and created in Office 365, so in Azure Active Directory. When you delete an object from your on-premises infrastructure, then, of course, also this identity would be deleted also from Office 365. Then, of course, in the same way, if you change an attribute for a user, maybe the user changes department or role or something like that, then this change would be also synchronized to Office 365. And, of course, if you disable user objects on-premises, basically, also these user objects would be disabled in Office 365. So what this means is that the source of authority, and this is also a very, very important concept when we talk about synchronization, is Azure Active, is your local Active Directory, so your on-premise infrastructure. And this means that any change that you want to perform on these identities, you have to do this basically on your Active Directory. You cannot do this in Office 365. And if you try to do this, you would most probably receive an error saying that this user is synchronized from your local Active Directory, so please make this change there in your local Active Directory. But again, the concept to note here is the idea of source of authority, which is on-premises. So everything that you want to perform on those identities, you have to do this on-premises in your local Active Directory. However, there are also objects that are not synchronized by default. And, for example, built-in administrative user accounts and groups are not synchronized. Also, default Active Directory administrative groups and Exchange groups and Exchange system mailbox accounts are also not synchronized by default. Now, also, this is a very, very important thing to know about how synchronization works, is that, let's say, as a general rule, this synchronization, so from your Active Directory to Azure Active Directory, occurs only one way. So from your Active Directory to Azure Active Directory. In general, there is no write back from Azure Active Directory to your on-premises directory. However, there is one exception, and this exception is when you have an Exchange hybrid. Because if you have an Exchange hybrid, this means that some users would have their mailboxes on-premises, and other users would have the mailboxes on in Exchange Online, so in cloud. But Active Directory, as, let's say, the source of authority for all objects, has to know then exactly which users have their mailboxes in Exchange Online and which user has have their mailboxes on Exchange Server. The Exchange Server on the other side also needs to know exactly if a certain user has his mailbox on Exchange Online, then the Exchange Server would need to know exactly where to contact or what service to contact for free busy lookups and so on. So there are these things that, let's say, services in on-premises need to be aware about things that are in the cloud. So this is why there are a few attributes that are also written back from cloud to Active Directory. And once again, I underline this occurs only when you have an Exchange hybrid. And these attributes are only synchronized, and these attributes are only synchronized from Azure AD to Active Directory, not other attributes. So only this one. And this, if you see these attributes, these are mainly used exactly for communication between different Exchange instances. Okay, and a few more details before we are over with Azure AD Connect. When you install Azure AD Connect, the first synchronization cycle is always a full synchronization. And when we do the demos, we'll see exactly what's the difference between full synchronization and delta synchronization. Because all other synchronization cycles that occur after the first are delta synchronizations. So this means that normally, Azure AD Connect would synchronize only objects that have something changed from the last synchronization. And as we said, on-premises Active Directory becomes the source of authority for the object, so everything you want to edit for those users, you need to do this in Active Directory, and then this will be synchronized. And also, these objects cannot be deleted or changed online, so we need to use directory synchronization. Of course, there are workarounds that we can use in order to do that, for example, to disable Azure AD Connect for a short time frame, but this is really not recommended to do unless it's very, very important and there is no other way to make some changes than by disabling Azure AD Connect. And one more detail that is very, very important, this is the soft match between cloud identities and Azure Active Directory identities, and local Active Directory identities. And this is especially important, for example, let's see a use case. You have a customer that says, okay, we would like maybe to go to Office 365, but we want to check this out first. So you would then send a trial to this customer. They will create their Office 365 instance. They would create users and in order to test the services, and most of the times they would create users that are really, really similar or identical to some company users that also are present in Active Directory. So let's say they create a user with user principal name with primary SMTP, they test all the services and so on, and then they say, okay, we really want now to go to Office 365, let's do that. So let's synchronize it. Let's synchronize our local Active Directory. Now, the problem is that, okay, those users that were already created in Office 365 are also present in Active Directory. And here is the very, very important thing. Because if those two users, even if they're, as information, they seem to be identical, but from technical perspective, these are two different identities. And if these two different identities share the same primary SMTP address, so if they both have the primary SMTP address user1@contoso.com, when we first run Azure AD Connect, this would perform a soft match. What it would do, basically, it will merge these two identities in only one identity with the source of authority in your local Active Directory. And this is important because doing it this way, users that were already on cloud that were using services, maybe they already stored some things in OneDrive and so on, they won't lose any information. And this is very, very important. Also, another use case, I say this as an information, it may be useful, I think, to use SoftMatch is when you perform a cutover exchange migration. Because when you do a cutover exchange migration, the migration engine would create users and so on, and then will copy the content of the mailboxes. And then at the end, when this cutover migration has ended, you would have then a set of users in Active Directory and another set in Office 365. And when everything is done and you have deleted the Exchange Online migration batch, and if once again all identities share the same primary SMTP address, then when you run the first time Azure AD Connect, it would also do a soft match. So this may be also very, very, very important. And there is one more thing, and we will see this also in action: object guide and immutable ID. These are very, very important. Object guide is the attribute in your Active Directory that is unique for each identity. So each user, group or contact would have a unique object guide. So when we do a synchronization, we need to make sure that there are no duplicates. And in order to do that, we need an attribute that is really, really unique and that we have a technical guarantee that is really, really, really unique across the local Active Directory. And this is the object way. So that's why HRAD Connect takes this attribute as a reference to identify the identities that it needs to synchronize to Office 365. And this attribute is in a GUID format. Now, what happens is that, okay, when we synchronize an identity, a user, for example, what HRAD Connect does, it's okay, it identifies the user based on this object guide. Then, when it synchronizes the user, it transforms the format of this object guide from guide GUID into base64, and it maps it to the attribute, to the cloud attribute immutable ID. So so for each user that you synchronize, the object guide that you will see in the local Active Directory needs to be exactly identical with the immutable ID in cloud, but of course in base64 format. So this is really, really important when synchronization is broken in some certain scenarios. Really, as a last resort, maybe you may need, for example, to disable HRAD Connect to change the immutable ID of that cloud user to a blank value and then to synchronize again, because this would be the only way to resolve this. But this occurs very, very rarely, and please do not do that without an instruction from our support colleagues, because it's very, very important thing. Good, and now we are going to ADFS. Andre, are there any questions that still needs an answer, or?
I'm looking right now.
Okay, so what happens with merge when AD users and cloud object test user have mailboxes but same UPN? Yes, no, it's no problem if the UPN is the same. So what is important for the soft match is, let's say, as the first ever, or the first very important thing is that the primary SMTP is the same. So this is really, really important. Then afterwards, when it does the soft match, of course, it will then, let's say, it will put together all the information that it have. But as we said, the source of authority is on premises. So let's say if you have a different user principal name in Office 365, then for the user that you have in Active Directory, then the new identity will have the user principal name that you have in your local Active Directory. So this soft match will be done based on this primary SMTP address if they are the same. But then for all other attributes, when these two identities are put together, the Active Directory, your local Active Directory, is the source of authority. I hope this answered the question. Okay, Andre, please, let's say if there are some questions that still, okay, please let me know if there are some questions that we would need to address during the presentation. Otherwise, thank you very much for the job you're doing in the IM.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, then let's go further to ADFS, which is also a very, very important information. So what we have here basically is that ADFS is kind of a tool that was not developed especially for the cloud. It was not developed especially for Office 365. So basically this tool was used in order to federate identities between two different local Active Directory infrastructure. So if I have an organization and Andre has another organization, I have a certain SharePoint site that is important. Andre has, let's say, maybe another line of business application that I would need to access. Then in order to not do necessarily a lot of trust and configuration between Active Directories, what we would do, we would set up a few ADFS server, and we'll have a federation between our forest, and then everything would go okay. So now what it happened when we started with the cloud services, we said, okay, but we have this tool, we can use it also to have a federated identity with Office 365 and in general with Azure Active Directory. And this is really, really great. But you have to know that what lies behind the ADFS is a very, very important concept that is basically an industry standard, so it's not something that really was invented by us, by Microsoft. So what it has behind is the so-called SAML protocol or SAML 2.0 authentication. And this SAML protocol was created around 2005 in order to handle different authentication requests between identity providers and, very important, web-based applications. And what ADFS is basically the Microsoft implementation of this specific SAML protocol, because there are also other third-party providers that have created their own tools using the same protocol, but there may be some slight different tweaks and so on, but the protocol itself that is used and is implemented is basically the same protocol. So let's check out a few basic concepts that make the SAML protocol work and see then how this works and how authentication is working with ADFS using different clients. Because as we said, the SAML protocol is normally intended or was intended for web-based applications only. So the first important, the first very, very important thing about the SAML protocols are, and the concept, the basic concept are claims. And what are claims? Claims are statements about identities. So I can claim about myself that I know I'm 32 years old maybe, and this claim could be true or false and so on. But this could be used, for example, in a fairly exaggerated example as a claim in ADFS. But in our specific scenario, claims of course are attributes from Active Directory. So any attribute from Active Directory could be used as a claim by an ADFS server in order to negotiate authentication with some certain service providers. So claims are very, very important. Now, when we have identity federation, normally we can configure, for example, if this is done between two on-premises organizations, we can configure and define exactly, okay, when user X from this company would like to use a certain resource from the other forest, then the ADFS server would use a SAML token that contains the following five claims, let's say, and then it could list all the claims that it needs. However, when we use ADFS with Office 365 and with Azure Active Directory, what we have is only we use only two claims. And we'll see this also during the demos. We use basically user principal name and this immutable ID. We saw that immutable ID is the base64 version of object guide. So very important for Office 365, we use only two claims. But we'll see this also in action a little bit later. Now, of course, we have these claims, but these claims need to be sent around in a certain way, and that's why this SAML protocol uses these so-called SAML tokens. And SAML tokens are basically, let's say, containers that contain, if they are containers, a lot of different information that is needed in order to negotiate access to a certain resource. And what we could see in these tokens are normally who issued the token, so which was the originating server, which is very, very important. Then when the token was issued, which is also very, very important, and in conjunction with the third thing, which is the validity time of the token. And we will see that in Office 365, it's usually 1 hour, unless you configure it otherwise. Then in some cases, also the intended recipient of this token is also written in the token as a claim. And of course, as we said, the claim data. So on this token, we have also the claim data. So the claims needed in order to successfully negotiate authentication to the resource that we want to access. So all this information is put or written down in a SAML token that the ADFS server would issue and then send to Azure Active Directory for authentication. Now we have the claims, we have a token. What we are still missing is a way to send this token around. And it's similar like when we want to exchange mails. We have recipients, we have the email itself, but what we need in order to send that email out and to make sure that the recipient will receive is we need a protocol. So we would then use then the SMTP protocol to send the email from recipient A to recipient B. So in this case, we also need something like a protocol that would send the tokens from the ADFS server to Azure Active Directory. And this is really, really important. This protocol is also, you can also see it, let's say, like a common language that two different identities speak. Like, for example, right now we have this presentation in English, and I am not English, so this is not my native tongue. Andre is also not English. And however, we still speak English. You also speak English, so you can fully understand us. So this English language in this case is kind of like of the SAML protocol for the different resources, identity providers or service providers on the internet that rely on this SAML protocol for authentication. Now, these are the basic concepts, and really what I still want to show you is how authentication works. First of all, if we have ADFS and we have and we want, let's say, to request a resource like Exchange Line or SharePoint Online. Let me specify these slides that you will see here are fairly old. So some titles that you see here like Org ID Gateway or ADFS 2.0 are really, really old. But the main concept about how authentication works is exactly the same. And due to the fact that these are pictures, I couldn't change the text, but I really wanted to present you these slides to visualize exactly how ADFS authentication with Office 365 services would work with different clients. So first, the web is fairly simple. We open a browser and we try to authenticate to Exchange Online or SharePoint Online. Then Exchange Online would say, okay, in order to use me to choose the service, you need to authenticate. I am a service. I am not able to authenticate you. Please go to Azure Active Directory for authentication. So then the browser goes to Azure Active Directory and says, hey, I want to access Exchange Online. I need to authenticate myself. Please, can you do that? And Azure Active Directory would like to do that, but it sees in the instant that this user is a federated user. So it would say to the browser, hey, I would like to authenticate you, but I cannot do this because this user is federated. Please check with your ADFS server. So it redirects this request back to the browser, and the browser contacts the ADFS server, presenting the credentials with which the user is logged in to the computer. This is by default. We can change this. We would see this when we do the demos. Then ADFS checks with the domain controller if the identity of that user is correct. And if everything is correct, it issues that SAML token and sends it to the browser. Hey, here is your token. Send this to Azure Active Directory. Then the browser sends the token to Azure Active Directory and says, hey, here's the token from my ADFS server. Please give me an authentication token for Exchange Online so that also the Exchange Online service would know that I am allowed to access Exchange resources. Azure AD does this and sends this back to the browser, and then the browser contacts finally Exchange Online. Here are all the information you need. Please let me access my emails. And in that case, then the user would be able to see his emails in Outlook web access. Now, this is very, very simple and straightforward when we have a browser. But the problem is that we do not use only browsers. Nowadays, we use a lot of clients, like, for example, the Link client or Skype for Business client. And the problem with those clients is that, let's say, they don't speak English. So they don't speak SAML protocol. So in this case, we would need to, or we as Microsoft needed to implement different workarounds in order to make also this application work with ADFS that natively do not support or do not speak the SAML protocol. So let's see how things are working with Skype for Business. And here the very, very important thing is that when you log into your computer, when you have Office installed from Office Pro Plus, what you also have is something called the Microsoft Online Sign-In Assistant. And right away, when you log on to your computer, this Microsoft Online Sign-In Assistant, it goes directly to Azure AD Connect and says, hey, please authenticate this user for me. Then the flow is fairly similar. Azure AD would say, okay, this user is federated. Please contact the ADFS server. The Sign-In Assistant will contact the ADFS server. ADFS would do the checks, and if everything is correct, then it would issue a SAML token with granting access. And the Sign-In Assistant would then send this token to Azure Active Directory. Azure Active Directory would validate this and would give also an authentication token and send this to the Microsoft Online Sign-In Assistant. What it happens when you start Skype for Business and try to log in is that basically it takes this information from the Sign-In Assistant and it presents them to Link Online, and then you would be able to access the resources so that you see your contacts and the starter chat and so on. So what we see here basically is that the Microsoft Online Sign-In Assistant does the job that normally a web browser does when it tries to access SharePoint Online. So that's why we use also the Sign-In Assistant. And the third client that we use and that also has a different authentication architecture is Outlook, the Outlook client. And this is specific for 2013, for 2010, also for 2016, but in 2016 we have also different options to authenticate. However, how it is working in Outlook, when you start your computer and start Outlook, Outlook would always try to connect anonymously to Exchange Online, and Exchange Online would say, no, no way, please authenticate yourself. Then Outlook would also present credentials from the credential manager vault, and Exchange Online would say again, okay, but I am not able to handle your authentication request because I'm the service, I'm not I'm not a directory. But Exchange Online in this case is not able to simply send this request back to Outlook and say, hey, please contact Azure Active Directory, because Outlook wouldn't know what to do with this information. So what it happens here, and this is very, very interesting, is that Exchange Online creates basically a shadow request and sends it directly to Azure Active Directory. Azure Active Directory would say, okay, but this user is federated, please contact the ADFS server. Again, the Exchange Online service would contact the ADFS server, presenting the credentials that Outlook presented to Exchange Online. And ADFS would again check the credentials if everything is correct. It would then issue this SAML token, and then it will send this to Exchange Online. Exchange Online would send this again to Azure Active Directory for validation, and then Azure Active Directory would issue this token, and then user would be able to connect Outlook to his Exchange Online account. So if we see, the web browser is the base on how things should go. In the case of Skype for Business or Link clients, we have the Microsoft Online Sign-In Assistant that handles this authentication right when you log into your computer. And in case of Outlook, we have Exchange Online basically acting like a browser from the first scenario, and redirecting all the requests until all the information for that user is available for the service. Now, I saw that there are a lot of questions regarding Exchange Online. Please note, this is an Office 365 Labs identity webcast. This is not related to Exchange Online. If I said something about Exchange Online, was only because there were things and aspects that were really, really strongly related to identity. And we'll have in 2 weeks from now a webcast dedicated specifically for Exchange Online. If you want to have more answers on Exchange Online topics and so on, please also make sure that you register for that webcast and that you are there in this Exchange Online webcast, and then you can fully discuss a lot of Exchange Online issues that you have, and I'm sure that my colleagues would be able to answer all your concerns. Good. For now, we are ready with the presentation part. So it's 0.45 minutes, so exactly the half. let's then go over and start doing some demos. And in order to do that, I will present my desktop here. Andre, please let me know when you can see my desktop.
All right.
Okay. So you can see it.
Yes, I can see it now.
Okay, thank you very much. Good. Now what we have here is, for example, the Office 365 console, and I'm sure that you are very, very familiar with this console. Now, if you want, for example, to add a user, this is a fairly simple task, I would say. You can use a first name, let's say first name and last name. Okay, first, let's say name. Okay, and last name and so on. Then the display name would be generated. Then let's say you have to define a UPN. So this is the first identity scenario where you have only cloud identities, for example. And then you can do this. And normally it takes around 1 minute or 2 minutes in order to go through all these things, to write all the text, the first name, the last name, also, and you can also select all other important information. Then you can assign a license from here and so on. So it takes around two minutes to create a user in Office 365. Now, problem is, and I personally saw this type of scenario once when working with a customer, is that that specific customer had around 152 or 53 users. Those users were basically managed on premises on a certain type of HR tool or something similar. I'm not exactly sure, but they didn't have a normal Active Directory. So problem is that basically we couldn't synchronize all these 155 users from their tool, their HR tool, to Office 365. So what we needed to do is basically that, okay, we need to create this user in Office 365. But in order to create 155 users with this procedure from the portal, this would take really a whole day only to create those users in Office 365. But here is the important thing. If you have such type of tools and you are find yourself in a similar type of scenario, what it is possible is to automate this task. And we will use Windows PowerShell to automate user creation in Office 365 and see how this works. So what we would need to do is basically export all users from that HR tool in a CSV file. Then in PowerShell, we would need to import that CSV file, and for each user, really, to create a new user in Office 365. And the question is, how fast would this go for 155 users? And that's why I want to check something out with you, because I'm really a big fan of space shuttles. It was not an error that I opened this page. I'm a fan of space shuttles and launches and so on, and I'm watching what's happening, what's new on the IIS and so on. And let's say as a challenge, if we can create these 155 users, or in this case it would be 151 users, in Office 365 before this space shuttle reaches the orbit. Now, if you're familiar with this topic, you know that this space shuttle normally takes around 8 minutes from launch to reach the orbit. So what we will do, we'll start this video, we'll let the space shuttle go away, we see how it's launching and how it's flying towards the orbit, then we will execute a certain PowerShell commandlet that would automate the task of creating users in Office 365, and the challenge is that our task, so users, would be able, to be created before the space shuttle reaches the orbit, so in these 8 minutes. So in order to give a head start, but let's put this on mute, in order to give this a head start, let's already start this video, and the space shuttle would fly away in really, really few seconds, I think. Yes, now it's away. So let's take this PowerShell commandlet and use it. Okay, let's make this so. And we'll simply paste this in PowerShell and let's get started and see what's happening. One important thing is what you see here under is licensed is false is because we do not also assign a license to these users in Office 365. The reason why we do this is very, very simple, is because I do not have 151 licenses in order to give all users also a license. Until this is done, this is how the CSV file looks like. So you can see there are some columns. You can also find the template for the CSV file on download.microsoft.com. That template includes only these first five users, and all other users then until 151 are created, like user 1, user 2, and so on. So you can simply use this template if you need to do this, and you can fairly easily export a CSV from a third-party tool and make really, really sure that... okay, let's see what's happening. Okay, the space shuttle is flying, but we are, okay, user 69. Okay, it seems to be fairly challenging. Until this is done, let's check this a little bit later. Let's see what this commandlet is, basically. It's really, really a very, very simple script. First of all, we import the CSV file from a certain location where I have saved it previously. Then I use this pipeline. Pipeline in PowerShell is an operator. And what it does, basically, normally on the commandlets that you run on the left of this pipeline, there is an output. This pipeline basically instructs PowerShell to take the output of what comes left to the pipeline and present it for use to what comes right of this pipeline. So in this case, we take and import all users from the CSV file, and for each user, this is the for each clause. It's a very, very well-known clause in PowerShell. So for each object, we will create a new MSOL user, so a new user in Office 365. And all the details, like user principal name, would be defined by the variable of user principal name in the CSV. First name would be specified by the first name column in the CSV. Last name would be specified by last names, and so on. And all the other information like city and everything that is important. What I have also added is the usage location. This is, for example, very, very important when you want to assign licenses, because you need to specify for users a usage location before being able to assign licenses. So now, okay, the space shuttle is still flying around 3 minutes, I would say, in a flight, and we are already done. So we have all the users that we had in the CSV in Office 365. So this was really, really fast. Now, I can tell you from experience that also, if you in the same script would like to assign a license to those users, it would take a little bit longer. And the whole script for 151 users would finish in around, I would say, 4 minutes and 20. So, however, it would be very, very fast in half of the time that this space shuttle reaches the orbit, then we are able to create these users in Office 365, and all these users are really good to go, and if you also assign the licenses, they are really able to use the service. Now, okay, let's make this a little bit smaller, okay, like that. Just what I wanted to show you is if I would want it also to assign a license, then this would be very, very easy. I would add, of course, to this another pipeline and the commandlet set MSOL user license with all the information that are is needed for this commandlet. And this would also assign a license. So this is really, really a very, very important thing in PowerShell. And let's see how many users were created in Office 365. Let's run this commandlet. Get MSOL user. And okay, count. And now we have around 151 plus 38, I think. Yes, we have 181 users in Office 365. if we would have ran this commandlet also before before adding those users to Office 365, then we would have basically only 31 users. So good. This would be regarding how we can automate tasks for using PowerShell, and this applies only for also for scenarios that where we have a cloud-only identity. But it also applies in certain ways, and you can perform different tasks also on objects that are synchronized identities or federated identities. Good, and with this, I would like to go over to Azure AD Connect. And since I spoke a lot right now, and I would like to take a short break, I think I would let also my colleague Andre to continue and to show you how Azure AD Connect works.
Thank you, Dan. I will share now my desktop. Dan, could you please let me know when you're able to see the desktop?
Of course I will, but I'm still seeing mine. I know it's loading.
I think now.
No, it's still loading for me. Yes, we should be good to go right now.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. So, what I want to show you today is AD Connect. This is the interface of AD Connect. The interface of AD Connect is composed from multiple tabs. Our first tab is operations, where the operations is displayed. So I want you to let you know that the one synchronization operations is taken three steps on each connector. So there are totally six steps. On every connector is performed an import of data. So every connector has an SQL database behind and has a connector space where all the information is imported. Information import regarding the Active Directory connector means that the information which we filtered out of the AD of the Active Directory will be written into the connector space. An import from the cloud connector means that the information which is already visible or created in MSODS, so in Office 365, will be imported as well. We are switching now to the synchronization. The synchronization of the connectors is basically the comparison of the two connector spaces. So as we already know from Dan, the only source authority in a synchronization scenario is Active Directory. So the connector space, the Active Directory connector space will transfer the data to the cloud connector space, so it will write the new information into the SQL database. And afterwards, we have the export operations, which will write the data into MSODS, so in Office 365. We have also an export operation on the Active Directory connector, which will write back the information in a hybrid scenario. Let's check the connectors tab. The connectors tab will display the two connectors. The first one is the cloud connector, the Office 365 connector, and the second one, the Active Directory connector. Probably you may wonder how the information is filtered from Active Directory. We have three types of filtering. We have the domain filtering, where you choose to synchronize all the domain. Then we have organization unit filtering, where you can choose which organization unit should be synchronized into the cloud. And we have attribute filtering, which is done via the synchronization rules. In this scenario, we are having an organization unit filtering. I will show you right now. First of all, let me show you the Active Directory. So we have the domain controller, which is called dumpatrashu.com, and we choose to synchronize only the raw users O out of the cloud users O. When we switch back to AD Sync, we can see this right here. Okay, done. I will ask you to insert the credentials.
Yes, I will do that. Okay, should be okay. Okay.
Okay, so as you can see, the AD schema is collected from the local Active Directory. Now we can see that we have chosen to synchronize only the raw users O. Okay, let's go further. We have another tab which is called Metaverse Designer, which we talk about, which we will talk in another session. And I will present now the Metaverse Search tab, which helped us search for users into the connector spaces. We have here an example. The search will be performed after attributes, so we can choose here which attribute we need to search. In this case, we choose the user principal name. At the operator, I will choose contents. You have multiple options here. It's up to you how you want to perform the search. So I will search for Cristiano Ronaldo because I know that his UPN starts with CR7. Add something. So I will choose to search, and there we have Cristiano Ronaldo. Okay. Here are the attributes which are present into the connector spaces. As you can see, for example, the account name or the display name or the FQDN or the cloud source anchor of the user and other informations. When we hit the connectors tab inside the Metaverse object properties, we can choose to see how the user was provisioned on each connector. For example, I want to see how the user was which attributes for this user were synchronized into the connector space of the cloud connector. So I will choose the distinguished name for this user in the cloud connector. And as I can see, there are some attributes which are synchronized. Okay. So, as I said, the operations should be run in segments. Every step is very important. So the first step should be the import, the second step the synchronization, and the third step the export, the return of the information into MSODS. Okay. Our engineers managed to change our AD Connect tool. So in the past we had a task in the task scheduler for this. Now if we want to check out this task or to start a synchronization, a manual synchronization, we will have to import the task into PowerShell. So what I will do next, I will import the task into PowerShell. Sorry, let's get this. mistake. Okay, so this is the task. Together with the task, we get some information, and now the custom sync interval is now set at 30 minutes. In the past, we had it set at 3 hours. We can see the next sync cycle policy type, which is a delta synchronization, and the next sync start time in UTC. We can see that the sync cycle is enabled, is true, so it's enabled. So what we can understand from here is that the synchronization, a delta synchronization, is started every 30 minutes. So this is the task. We can simply start a synchronization by typing a command into PowerShell. So what I will do next, I will start a synchronization. If we check the interface, we can see that an import has started. It's in progress. After the import, a synchronization should start. If we check the connectors, we have the information here as well. Okay, and as you can see, we got an error message on the export operation on the Office 365 Cloud Connector. We can check the error message. So the title of the error message is attribute value, value must be unique. So I can click on the error message, and if I hit details, I will have a detailed information about the error message, and let's check out what the error message says. So, unable to update this object because the following attribute associated with this object have values that may already be associated with other objects in your local directory service. So, it looks like that SMTP address, which is stored under the proxy addresses attribute, is duplicated in our local Active Directory, because our local Active Directory accepts duplicated SMTP addresses between the users, but the cloud environment does not. Okay, so I will show you how to solve this issue. So first of all, what we need to determine is which user is which users are having these duplicate attributes values. So I will perform LDAP query in the local Active Directory. I will write proxy addresses equals SMTP. Well, we need to check which is the duplicated SMTP, and the duplicated SMTP is contact@dumpotrashko.com. Okay. As we can see, we have these two users which has which have this value in the proxy addresses attribute. So we will need to remove the SMTP from one of these users. So I will choose to remove it from Anthony Davis. I have here Active Directory, and I already activated the advanced features in order to be able to use the attribute editor. Okay. So basically what I'm doing now, I will remove the proxy the SMTP address from the proxy addresses attribute. Apply the changes. Okay. And I will start another synchronization in order to determine if the error message still exists or not. In the meanwhile, I will explain which is the difference of delta synchronization and the full synchronization. So the delta synchronization is the synchronization which normally starts every 30 minutes. It's updating only the connector spaces and of the users which are in scope for synchronization. For example, if I will have to change the scope of synchronization, so I will change the OU filtering, I will have to run a full synchronization. So full synchronization, we will have to run full synchronization only when we first start directory synchronization and when we change the scope of the synchronization. As you can see, the delta synchronization procedure is finished. We have no error messages. The user is now successfully synchronized to the cloud. What I will do next, I will try to change the scope of synchronization. Dan?
Yep, I'm here, yeah.
Will you please?
Okay, should be okay. Yeah.
Okay. I will choose to synchronize raw users and DE users as well. Okay. Okay. What should I run now? Should I run a delta synchronization or a full synchronization? I will wait 1 minute for your answer in the chat window.
Yeah, we have already few answers.
Answers, yes. So you're right. We should run a full synchronization. What I need to do first is to change the next cycle policy type. So I can do this very easy using some commands, and I will type set minus adsync scheduler space minus and next. I will change basically the next sync cycle policy type, and I will put it on initial. Okay. If we check again in the adsync scheduler, we can see that the next sync cycle policy type is initial. Okay, let's start the synchronization. It's better. Sync. I misspelled it again.
class choose the tab to resolve it after a few letters?
It should be okay this time. Sorry for that. Okay. It should start a full synchronization right now. Okay, as you see, a full import is already in progress. We have 4 new ads. So if we check them, we can see that these users are the 4 users which are present in the DE organization unit. There is another way to start the synchronization. So if we choose the connectors tab, we can simply hit right click on the connector and then hit run and choose the operation we want to run. Very important is that we need to run in the first instance 2 imports on every connector. Then we have to run 2 synchronizations on both of the connector, and at the end 2 export operations. Okay, so the users are now synchronized. Maybe I can search for Mr. Zimmerman in Metaverse search. Let's check the UPN. User principal name, it's Heinz. So, I will change the value. Okay, as you can see, well, if we check the connectors, Heinz Zimmermann was synchronized to the cloud.
That is some great news.
Yes. I want to show you something else, another thing. So if the error message is not concludent into the AD Connect tool, we have the event viewer. Where we have these informations as well. So I will filter now the logs for today, and we will check if we can find something. And here is the error which we got in the past. So attribute value must be unique. As you can see, it's basically the same error message which we got in the tool as well, but not every time when AD Connect encounters an error, you can understand the error message. So I will advise you to check event viewer after, if the error message is not concludent, as I said. Okay, do you have any questions?
Let's go on. If there are questions, then we will answer in chat. Let's move on with the demo, because right now I want to go over to ADFS. But before that, there was a partner from us that asked if we could briefly also show the synchronization rule editor. So I will present my desktop and I will briefly show the synchronization rule editor. And afterwards, we'll go into ADFS. It could be that we would be slightly late. However, if you have to go at 0:30, then you can do that. You would, however, receive on your email the video for this webcast. And then you can show the entire presentation. However, please be attentive that you would receive all information, the follow-up for this webcast, so including the video and including the presentation deck that you used, on the email address with which you registered for this event. So I saw that there were a lot of outlook.com addresses and so on, please make sure that you would also check these addresses. Okay, what we see here, I assume that we already can see the screen, is the synchronization rules editor. This is something we didn't have in the previous synchronization engines like DirSync or Azure AD Sync and so on. And this basically made, in a certain way, a little bit more easier the whole concept of filtering and the transformation rules and so on. But on the other side, it's a fairly complex thing that we have to take into consideration. So first of all, a very, very important here is that we have two different rules types. So the first rule types are inbound, and then the second is outbound. And basically what this means, this is related or strictly tied to these processes that we see here. For example, the inbound rules would apply only on import run profiles. And the outbound rules would only apply on export run profiles. So this is very, very important. And of course, on each rule type, so in this case inbound, we have then here inbound rules from the local Active Directory and of course also inbound from Azure Active Directory, because all this type of information is important, and this is because we have an import process on each connector when we run a synchronization cycle, so we need these rules. Good. Let's check briefly out a rule that we have here, and let's say we would try to edit it. We will receive this message here. We click on No here because we won't save anything. And this is basically also the way how you can create a new rule. And this is the information that you have to specify, like, for example, a name that describes the type of the rule that you want to use, but I would take one from AD, the user join from AD, because it's a little bit more insightful, I think. So this is the a rule for AD. When you create a new rule, you can choose between the two different connectors that you have. So if I choose this one, it would mean that this rule would be applied for the connector to the cloud. If I choose this one, this means that the rule would be applied for the connector to Active Directory. Then what type of object do we want here to synchronize? We can also leave this, we can leave this, not export. You can also export this, and this is also something that could be very, very useful. No? Okay. Yes. What system object do we want to synchronize? In this case, it was the user. However, please be attentive that in the Metaverse database, the object type person is that one that it corresponds to user, what we have in local Active Directory. And also we have a precedence. We will briefly also watch into what this is. Now, on the next step, when you create a new rule, is to add a scope filter. For example, if you want to filter out all users that, let's say, belong to a certain group that is with critical users and so on, then these users should not be synced. In that case, you would here simply use as an object, okay, as an attribute, we have this member of attribute. Then you can use this, member list. So there are certain type of things that you can use here in order to filter out. So if you can create a rule that a certain users belonging to a certain group, then this rule would be scoped exactly for those users. Then the next step would be to add join rules. And this is, as we saw, the mapping, because object, GUID, and source anchor, which source anchor is also immutable ID. So it's basically the same thing, but it has here in this tool a different name, because you may know that this Azure AD Connect tool is built on top of FIM. So a lot of concepts are coming from FIM, and that's why it may be a little bit confusing. But however, this is the rule that maps the object guide to source anchor, and which this will become an immutable ID in the cloud. Then here a transformation, if we want to transform something for that user. For example, this is when you add something, like for example, you want that the extension attribute one from Active Directory is mapped to the attribute department in Office 365. So if you want to do this transformation, then you add this condition here. And what you have to then is to click on save, and then the new rule is created. Very important here, we saw when we went through the rule, two different steps. The first one was the scoping, and this is a specifically used or more important use where we want to filter users. So users, they should not be synchronized. And then at the end, on the last screen, we had the transformation rules, and this is when we want to map a certain attribute that is in Active Directory to another attribute in Azure Active Directory. And here is as a common recommendation, it's always important or it's recommended that filtering rules, like to filter out users, that you will connect them or that you will create them on the Azure Active on the Active Directory connector, and transformation rules should be created on the Azure Active Directory connector. This is a very important recommendation, especially when you are synchronizing from several Active Directory forests to one Office 365 instance. And here, the last thing that is important, precedence. It means that these rules are applied in this order. So first one, this, and this, and this, and so on. So if you want to create a new rule, for example, here it would be nice to create it with 169 or 67, sorry. Or I don't know what is the last. However, or you can connect it, you can create it with one or two and so on if you want to be applied at first. It's important that the value for the precedence is unique across the Azure AD Connect implementation. Good, and this would be it about synchronization rule. Let's get back to ADFS. What I wanted to show you here, I think you may also be familiar with the console. This is the ADFS administration console. It's a very, very simple thing. ADFS is not really complicated when you understand exactly the flows behind it and how things are working. But what I wanted to show you here is a very, very important part, and it's regarding certificates. Because this is a type of issue that you would surely encounter with end customer a lot of times. So when we're using ADFS, what we normally have are three different certificates. So the first certificate type that we use is the service communication certificate. And this is a certificate issued by a third-party certification authority, and it should contain normally, please do not take this screenshot as information because this is a test lab, and it would work also like this, but it should contain the fully qualified domain name of your federation service, like sts.dampotrashko.com. However, this would be issued by a public certification authority, as you can see it here. And so you should basically buy the certificate. Normally, organizations already have this type of certificate, or they have a SAN certificate, and they can simply request to add a new SAN to the certificate and then use that certificate. So this would be also possible. And this certificate is normally valid as specified by the certification authority, normally 3 years, I think, or something like that. Good. Then we have the next certificate that is important is the token signing certificate. Just an information, the token decrypting certificate for the federation with Office 365 is not used at all. So you can also delete it. It wouldn't be any problem. However, what we use is the token signing certificate because each token that this ADFS server issues is signed by this token signing certificate. And when we create the federation, and which is basically like a kind of contract between the ADFS server and Office 365, and in this type of contract, we specify a lot of things like the claims that we will send, the information that we will exchange, and the certificate that we will use in order to sign all the SAML tokens. So problem is that this certificate is auto-generated by ADFS, and it expires every 365 days. So this means that once every year, a new certificate has to be generated. Now, important is to notice that normally the ADFS server does handle this by its own. So what it happens is that at a certain point before the certificate expires, the ADFS server would create a new certificate. And we see here that we have here this certificate, which is the old one, because it expires in 2016 on the 9th of April. And this is the new certificate that was created by the ADFS server. I didn't do anything. And this certificate would be valid until 2017. Now, the only thing that is important here is to check the following. We have a command get ADFS properties, and in this commandlet you would say a lot of information, but important is here, auto certificate rollover. This means that a new certificate would be generated automatically. This certificate generation threshold, this is 20, and this number specifies days. This means that 20 days before the old certificate expires, the new certificate would be generated. And 5, this certificate promotion threshold, would mean that 5 days after the new certificate was created, this certificate would be promoted as primary certificate. Now, if this ADFS server, for example, is, however, in a certain way exposed directly to the internet, this would normally mean that Office 365 would be also automatically be informed by the ADFS server about the new certificate change. However, normally, of course, ADFS is a critical infrastructure component, and we don't want to expose it on the internet, and that's why we normally use a web application proxy. Now, it happens when we have a web application proxy that the certificate is generated correctly and everything is right, but ADFS is not able to directly notify Office 365, hey, I have a new certificate, I will start signing this request, all the tokens with a new certificate. And then we as admins, the only thing that we have to do is to run this commandlet update MSOL federated domain, then domain name and the domain name. This is the domain name, and now this commandlet also with support multiple domains. Yeah, this commandlet would probably fail right now because I have not connected to the Connect MSOL service. You can see here, which is correct. I didn't do that, but however, this is what you would have to do. And one final thing that I want to check with to show you exactly how ADFS would work. And this is a very, very important here thing to how to see the SAML token and the information that we have on it. In order to do that, we would perform a login. And what we would do, we would use a third-party tool, which is Fiddler. And this tool is an HTTP trace. Basically, it takes HTTP traces when we perform different things. Okay, this is Fiddler, and no, don't update because you will mess anything up. And let's then, this is a federated user, let's try to log in with this user. So what it would happen right now, we would see that I'm redirecting to organization, which is means that it's redirecting to my ADFS server. Now, due to the Fiddler tool, all the redirection would be a little bit slower. You can see here sts.dampatrashko.com was my server, so I was redirected here, and I was able to log in right now with that user. Now, this here is blank because this user here doesn't have a license, but he was able to successfully authenticate to Azure Active Directory. Now, what it is very important here is the trace. You can see all the communication, like this was the when we connected to Office portal.office.com. Then there is this connect request to sts.dampatrashko.com. This is the connect request to my ADFS server. Then we see on the ADFS server some type of information. And very important here, this is a post request. This login.srf, very important. And this is a post request. And this is very, very important because if we can go here on web forms, and what we see here in W result, this is basically the SAML token. Now, problem is that you won't be able to recognize anything in this type of SAML token. So let's do some magic here and open a notepad. Okay, I can. Okay, let's paste this here and let's do a file save as. Let's make it like this, and Office 365 labs.xml. SAML tokens are already in XML formats. Now this should be saved. Let's minimize Fiddler. Let's see what's okay. This is SAML token. And now this should be open in the browser. And this is the SAML token. So right now you're losing. You're looking at the SAML token, and there are a lot of information here. Is here this specifies the also the validity. You can see here SAML conditions not on or after and not before, and the difference between these two dates is 1 hour. So this means that the SAML token is valid for 1 hour. And the other things here, if you go a little bit down, you can see here. SAML attribute, attribute namespace and claims. So this is the first claim, and the first is the UPN. So this is here the user principal name, here right about in the middle of a page, and we can see also the user principal name. And just beneath that user principal name, we also have the immutable ID, which is the BASE64 format of the object guide of this user in Active Directory. And if we scroll here, we at the bottom, we have this X509 data, and this is the token signing certificate. And again, if I would copy and paste this into a notepad and save this at save this as a .cer file, then this would basically mean that I would be open it as a certificate. So always when you have problems with single users that say I'm not able to log in to Office 365 anymore, the first thing to do is make the user try to log in again, take an HTTP trace. You can use what tool you want in order to take the trace. Look for that login.srf entry, take the SAML token out, save it as an XML, and watch that this is that all is correct. As a recommendation, as an admin, you may also take the SAML token from a successful authentication request so that you have it as a reference. Should you have problems for single users, that you can check and compare these two different SAML tokens. But yes, this would be it mainly. So let's present now again the slides. And yeah, we are 7 minutes late. I'm really, really sorry that that we are this 7 minutes late. Please accept my apology. Thank you very much for being in this Office 365 Labs identity webcast. Here, as I promised you on this slide, you have all the events in this series, which are all in English. You can also register for all these events with dates and times and so on. I myself won't be able to present all these webcasts because I'm also not an expert on all these topics, but there would be colleagues of mine which want to share with you great insights about Exchange, SharePoint, and Skype for Business that I think would be useful for you as an as Office 365 admins to understand exactly and know exactly what to do. Also very important, you would probably receive on the same email where you will receive my follow-up a survey. If you did enjoy this webcast, please take a few moments in order to fill that survey. And it's very important also be not only the values that you give us, so that your evaluation, but also your verbatim. So what did you like, what you didn't like, and so on, so that we can improve for the future. And if we see that we have a great feedback and you, that you really enjoy the session, then we will also organize from this summer on more webcasts that we will focus more on demos, on how-tos, on showing you exactly hands-on how to do things, and so on. Once again, thank you very much for being here. It was an honor for me to present in front of you. Have a nice day and a nice weekend ahead.
Have a nice day.